Welcome to Cultivate the Ordinary Podcast, curious conversations for the anxious, frustrated, and bored. I'm Travis.
And I'm Jesse. So often we're held captive by screens, schedules, and media that's mind-numbing and polarizing. This leaves us seeing dimly through a fog. We want to spark more imagination and a better awareness of God's presence in the everyday.
Join us on a fun journey of discovery and curiosity as we look at the ordinary through the lenses of joy, wonder, beauty, and hope. Before we get into today's podcast, I'm going to introduce this one similarly to the last one, the previous one, Soul Care, which I highly encourage you to listen to first if you haven't listened to. But it also, as I said in the previous one, by way of a little bit more introduction of our good friend guest, Steve Smith. Steve was a pastor of churches in North Carolina and the Netherlands. At a critical time of his pastoral journey, he was mentored by the beloved philosopher and theologian Dallas Willard. This sort of led Steve into a new journey in his ministry, specifically into the world of soul care. And so that previous episode, we definitely talked about that as the main theme and topic. Steve has went on to, with his wife, found Potter's Inn, which was a ministry dedicated to caring for the soul for leaders in the marketplace and people in ministry. And then they also went on to found the Soul Care Institute, which is an immersive retreat and curriculum-based program for soul care transformation. Steve has also authored numerous books on the subject. You can check out in the links. So clearly Steve has an extensive history and a lot of experience in the world of soul care. Our focus in this podcast will be on spiritual direction, really defining what that is, what's involved in it, how what it looks like. And then Steve and I are going to talk about our own journey working together, as he's been my spiritual director for over a year. And Jesse has recently gotten a spiritual director herself as well. So that's going to be the conversation. We'll give some more introduction conversationally as we go through the episode today, but just wanted to set it up before the setup that way. In this podcast episode, we're going to really unpack more of specifically spiritual direction, as someone has described as the ministry of holy listening. Steve will probably share, our friend Steve Smith, who's on the podcast again with us, will probably share some of his own definitions, and he's going to go into some of his own experience of receiving spiritual direction. We talked about in the previous episode his own story and journey from being a pastor, entering into the soul care world. And so go check out that podcast. A lot of great resources also in that. Before we get more into this discussion and conversation, we didn't really talk about in the previous episode how we even met. So Jess was going to just share a little bit of that story, and then we'll get right into this discussion.
Thank you.
You're already laughing, so that's...
It's hilarious just thinking back how... 2 years ago now, we had bought this land in Tennessee, and we had this wild idea to start leading retreats, and had just begun our own inner work, and we're continuing to fumble through trying to figure out how to do that well. Some friends of ours, Jeremy and Meredith Sparks, they invited us to meet with Steve Smith. And we met at this tiny little town.
Because at the time you were in Charlotte still.
Yes.
Yep. So we're in Spartanburg. And so it was like, where can we kind of meet between?
Let's not name the little dump town we were in. But it did have a kind of okay restaurant. I don't even remember the
town. It starts with a C, but we'll give it more dignity.
Okay.
The memorable part of that day was definitely not necessarily the town, but just the company. And we sat down and just shared a little bit of our hopes, our dreams, our story. And you listened so well and told us where you had been. You told us about your journey into soul care and your retreat center and the ways in which you've seen God move. In your heart, in your life, in your family. And we were just captivated by your authenticity and your gentleness too. Mm. So that was, do you remember that day?
I remember it quite well because I heard you speaking some little bit of Chinese, which is that foreign language we talked about in part one of what is soul care. It's a different language. It's a different way of viewing life. And I recognized that you were on your own, apart from me or anybody else. You were already forming these monosyllable words and learning and so thirsty that there has to be more to the Christian life than what we've heard.
My last remembrance on this, and we can move on, but of that story of meeting was, so it was this great preview into just even our relationship with Steve of, here's this guy who we've never met. We're sitting with a mutual friend. And just, I remember the way Steve looked at me specifically, looked like he, like everything I said to him so deeply mattered. And I could just feel like, I could feel the compassion, the care and the listening. And then leaving that, Steve gave us one of his books, Soul Custody, I believe, and shared with us that, gave us that book. And I remember I brought my book, Shiny Eyes, and gave to him. And then I remember like this experience of like, you know, he's this, written so many books and all of these amazing endorsements and knowing so many people, and takes my book, self-published, and, you know, it's just like this project compared to, you know, whatever, you know, this work he created. And later in the day, I remember getting a text from Steve just saying something like how, just how he was touched by the book and so, or what he had read. And for me, that meant so much that even just that you would open it and take a look at it and then share some feedback. That was just, that was really, really a cool moment.
I love that time, but I love where we are now more because we know each other.
Yeah. So we're going to, so as I said, the topic today, we're going to talk about spiritual direction. And Steve, if you want to just open us up into, describe to our listeners, what in your mind, if you have a working sort of definition of spiritual direction, and then give us sort of, you know, even if a snapshot of your story of receiving a spiritual direction, sounds like that's where you had started out with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to, it dawned on me, to phrase it this way in terms of what is spiritual direction. Many people have different definitions, but I want to today name it the name of your podcast and what you're doing, cultivating the ordinary. All of us have ordinary lives. None of us are, you know, special people. We're all just doing the best we can. We're moms, we're dads, we're doctors, we're dentists, we're teachers, we're plumbers, we're volunteer people, we're at home parents, we're burying our parents, we're raising our children. Cultivating the ordinary is the recognition that you understand that everything in our life really is sacred. And as we cultivate the ordinary, we are looking for the fingerprints of God in our ordinary life, in our mothering, our fathering. Where is God? Where did God show up? I know I'm going to church, but could this become more personal? Can I find God in my midst, not just in the midst of Jesus or these great men and women who are the reformers of the church and these great missionaries and pastors, but my life, my simple, ordinary, everyday life? How can I find God in the midst of this? So I like that. You know, I think I'll give you a female metaphor of what spiritual direction is like, and then I want to give a masculine because I think we're talking to both. I'm a man, Jess, you're a woman, but the best metaphor of spiritual direction that I know of that is a woman, that women will get that men cannot, is spiritual direction is really being a midwife. In the birth of a child, which we've never done, we might have witnessed it, but as a woman, there are these people called midwives who are actually there to assist this new life in being born. And I've used that metaphor with you, Trav, because sometimes when we're talking, I said, oh, this, what you're saying today feels a little breach. I've got my hand on the leg of what you're saying, but I'm just going to gently pull and see if you can kind of get this a little more out, say it a little more clearly. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, let this baby finally out. Of course, we can't give birth to babies, Jess. You do that. So I love the idea of midwifery, I think it's called, because it's presence. It's holy presence for someone to be there to aid and assist in new life. Hmm. And as a woman descends into her heart and talk, that midwife listens, helps the head and holds the shoulders and helps that shoulder come out and just gently, gently is there for this new life to be birthed. And every person I've ever talked to that's experienced spiritual direction, it's a life-giving. This isn't a life-sucking experience. Very life-giving to talk about your heart, your life, and for someone to listen to you. Hmm. The masculine metaphor, Trav, I like, is what you and I do so often, is I feel like I'm just holding a shovel, and you're holding a shovel, and we are excavating and going down into our hearts to maybe, you know, they say the heart has four quadrants, the upper left and upper right and lower, and then the final fourth quadrant. And we're shoveling our way into not that first quadrant, which is, hey, how you doing? What'd you have for breakfast? That kind of surface. How about the Broncos or how about the Panthers? We're going deeper. And so we're just shoveling, not in a sweaty, frantic attempt, but just digging to where your life is, where your heart is today, what's happening. And so sometimes, quite often, over the year or so that you and I've been working, we're able to kind of begin very quickly, at least in the second quadrant, and then going down deeper into the third, where we're talking about your marriage, or you're blowing it as a dad, or what do you really want to do? And, you know, how are you doing with this whole Cultivate the Ordinary podcast, and what about your retreat, and how's that making you feel? Mm. It's not counseling. Mm-hmm. It can be, because I'm familiar with that as well, but soul care and spiritual direction is really descending into the heart, talking about what really matters in life. We're not talking on a horizontal, like, or a chronological pattern, like, what have the last 4 weeks been through? Week one and week two, and where'd you go? And did you make that sale? And what did your mama say? And what did your kid say? That's horizontal chronology talking. That is not spiritual direction. Mm. Spiritual direction is vertical. Mm. It's descending and talking about you and your aloneness and your fears and your crap and your junk and your glory and your belovedness, and it's a mixture of mud and marble. Mm. And so when we talk, Trav, it's just like, open up, here we go. And that's the beauty of a long-term relationship. And I can't wait till we're 10 years into this, because by then we'll be in the fourth quadrant of each other's heart. It takes a while. You just don't start there, especially men.
Yeah,
we have to warm up a lot slower to each other.
Yeah. I love what I was recently reading this somewhere that, you know, your mentor, and then even who, you know, did some spiritual direction for you, you talk about with Dallas Willard. I think I'd read somewhere that one of his questions in spiritual direction he would give often is simply the question, what is bothering you? It seemed to bring distilled down right in to like that. Right.
Yeah. I've never asked that question. But now that you ask it, I remember him asking me, because bothering is like, oh, there's a storm brewing. Mm-hmm. This isn't category 5 hurricane, but I feel the tide pulling me out and I'm about to lose my footing and the big waves are crashing. And it could be about finances. It could be about, I just had a fight with my wife, or my high school daughter did this or said that. And, you know, through that whole nine yards. So we're always, you know, I like to ask you this question, and is that, how is your inner life? tell me what's happening in your inner world. Because it's like, I don't live there where you live in Spartanburg. I don't know your outer life. I don't know anybody's outer life that I work with in spiritual direction, but I do know their inner life. And that's where we talk, is what's happening in you as you're living your outer life. There's a lot of listening in spiritual direction. That's really the primary modus operandi of a person. It's not really direction. That's a bad name. Yeah. It's really holy listening. And I love this, that it's to listen is to love. Mm. And when I listen in spiritual direction, it is really me loving that person, because people need to be listened to. Yeah. Most of the time in conversation, it's just like, well, I did this and I did that, and what do you think and all that. Rarely, I think, in my relationships, is anybody courageous enough to turn it back and say, and Steve, you? What are you thinking? It's all, usually always about them. Right. Spiritual direction is not reciprocal. We rarely ever talk about me. Isn't that true, Travis?
Yeah. I mean, we certainly have a friendship. So yeah, there's times around that where, you know, but it is, it's directed questions to me.
It's directed questions, yeah. And we're processing, and I might illustrate out of my life, but I am not front and center. My role as the midwife is to be alongside you and to ask you some questions so that you can bravely and find the courage to put words to all these inner rumblings that might feel like indigestion, spiritual indigestion, but you're going to give words and I'm going to listen and clarify, is it this or is it that? And where is this? Where are you feeling that sort of thing?
Yeah.
I hope that helps. I think there's so many book definitions of spiritual direction, but I'm all into the metaphor, because I think if we get a picture, I love this in spiritual direction, that spiritual direction is really spiritual companionship. Yeah. The word companion in French means companion, literally companion, with bread. Spiritual companionship are two beggars begging for the same thing. So when we Zoom together or we meet together, we are begging for bread, for God to give us bread, because you're really hungry for the bread and I'm really hungry. And it's like, I know where a crumb is, Travis. Mm-hmm. Come and let's share this crumb together. Mm-hmm. Was that a crumb? And you'll say, oh no, man, that was filet mignon today.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you were talking about the process and why the listening and this quote came to mind by Alice Freiling. It says, but on my own, I cannot always perceive God in my life. My spiritual eyes are clouded by stresses, fears, and unsolved problems that are in the forefront of my awareness. And like what you're talking about is that cloudedness. It's like we can't really see and do it on our own. Sometimes someone else listening to our life and witnessing.
This is the deal, is that we can't do it on our own. You know, I think 49 times in the New Testament, there's this thing called the one another's. Love one another, bear with one another's burdens, pray with one another. Our culture has forgotten the one another's because we're living in silos. We come in and push our garage door. We barely know our neighbors, you know, and spiritual direction is not living with the garage door down. It's like living with your heart open and trusting and building safety. I mean, it's taken us a long time, you a long time, I think, to feel safe with me, because we started as strangers. And just because I tell you that this is what I do doesn't mean we're really warmed up. And so we had to build safety that I'm not going to blab to Jess. I'm not going to call your kids up and say, you can't possibly know what your dad told me today. It's just very private. It's very confidential. And so as you trust, as you build safety with that, then the words start flowing like streams and rivers, and you just kind of can't wait. It's just like when you showed up at my door today, when both of you, it's just like my heart leaped inside, because it's like, I love y'all. you know, and I love you, Travis. I love our times. And I just told you this of when I listened to the two podcasts about your brother, that was wonderful and very sobering, but I did not listen to those podcasts really about your brother. I listened because I know you and what this must have been like for you. Mm-hmm. And now all these years of caring for your brother and what that really means and looks like. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing our coffee machine gurgle and have indigestion. It might need spiritual direction, but we'll see.
You know, one other, as you were talking about the one another's and what's the other quote about attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity.
Attention is the rarest form of love and generosity. So for someone to be attentive, I love that. Mm-hmm. Because that's love. It's just like that you've got somebody sitting with you that their whole agenda is not to talk about themselves, the books they've written or the places they've been or about sport teams. It's be attentive to this magnificent soul sitting in front of me and just think, what? Oh my word, I'm so sorry. Or let's high five. Let me jump through that Zoom screen and give you a bear hug and tell you how awesome this is to see you and live, to recognize how you're trying to live so well.
Yeah, I mean, you and I talked about this before this podcast, that we have a rare opportunity here a little bit to people probably don't get this experience often, to where, you know, we're talking about spiritual direction, but also you are my spiritual director. It's been over about a year. So I'm what you could say your directee or mentee in this relationship. And so, you know, part of this conversation is, you know, hearing from each other, even on our journey. You've already, you know, shared some timeline moments and sort of some of the foundations about our journey in this. Some of the questions, I think, coming out of the gate, I remember that kind of set the tone, what this would be like. This isn't a program. This isn't primarily advice giving or therapy or these types of things. Though, as you said, sometimes that stuff can happen when it's the right moment. But more than anything, it's listening. And I remember, as someone who, you know, you and I have talked about this a lot, you know, I'm an Enneagram 8, the challenger, the one armed up in life. You know, that's a defense mechanism for wounds, you know, trying to be the strongest, tough, you know, trying to be there. And I think your line at the very get-go of us meeting was, you know, you said something to me to the effect of basically, Travis, you were made to excavate your inner world. And my initial feeling of that was, no, I'm made to defend. You know, you have me all wrong, Steve. You don't know me at all. Mm-hmm. For you to say that I'm made to excavate, no, I'm made to wall up. Mm-hmm. And I think our relationship in this has been you helping me to unearth, as you said, take the shovel, let's dig together, and you're digging with me. And the last part I'll say about this, but early on, I think you had this line, it was so profound to me of, you're also going to dig to find the truth that you can stand on.
Mm.
Man, that line got me.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, just to watch you talk touches me very deeply because I think it's a spiritual thing. I think when we talk about excavation, it's more like, I just see gold in you. So it's like we've worked through mud and about 3 feet of mud in our stories. As I listen to your story and some of the things that have happened to you, it's just like, oh my goodness, all this was shaping you, all that land up there in Dakota land. Mm-hmm. And we talked at length. We often, nearly every time, talk about the landscape of Dakota and yeah, the landscape of your wild heart and what that means. And you taking, you know, your family up there, your dad, when your dad passed away and what that was like. And we're talking about the gold in you. Mm. Before, Travis, I think you knew you had gold in you. I think you thought you're just an eight and you're a tough, very cool tattooed guy with a cool beard. There's nothing about, you can't see Travis, but there's nothing about Travis that's not cool.
Oh, well,
I feel such help. I feel like such a dud because I don't have a tattoo on or anything on
tell
me.
Tell my teenagers that,
please. Your dad is very cool. Okay,
thanks. Everyone listen to that. Jay, Dre, Asher, you all got that.
Yeah, you're very cool, but I don't think you knew. It's not how cool you were, but how glorious you are inside your heart, embedded into your chest, that God has given you this. And it's like, we just talk about that a lot because it's learning to own your own belovedness. In episode one, we talked about belovedness, but in our journey together, I don't have to convince you that you're beloved. I think, and you answer, this has been a journey of you discovering for yourself.
Yes, great way to put that. It certainly not at the outset. Formative wounds in the past to, and I think it's common for a lot of us to not feel our belovedness. But there was something, even just visually, I felt just sitting in your presence and felt like I was seen. And I felt like you, whether it was on Zoom or whether we've met up, you were in no rush to leave. You were there to hear, to let me share, and to, you know, respond when you felt appropriate. But more than anything, it was just, I felt, and this has been a journey, I've felt increasingly loved by you. And I think we even had a moment, gosh, maybe about 3 months ago. So this is probably 9 months into the spiritual direction journey once a month, where I feel like we met up one time. Sometimes we'll have lunch together, meeting up. And it was kind of this, do you remember this moment where maybe it was a turning point for me of to where, I don't know what you sensed going on in me in that moment, but you strongly, and I needed to hear this, but you strongly kind of confronted me on, I'm driving this far to because I want to be here. And I don't know if you put it, do you want to be here? I mean, do you remember that moment? I mean, it was just,
I do remember, because often we do meet for lunch because you like food. And so another reason I love you. So we live about, maybe we found, you know, all these cool places because you know this area better. And it was like, I want to be here. But do you want to dig?
Yeah.
Do you just want to have lunch or do you want to dig? Because I'm not going to drive this far just to have a burrito with you. Yeah. If we're going to dig, I've got a shovel and you've got a shovel and we will find the gold, because there is massive amounts of 24 karat in you. But I just, at this stage of my life, I don't need to have another burrito friend.
So that's what I was potentially going to be to you. Okay. And so I remember too, like, just that it kind of shocked me a bit in a good way. I remember it sort of woke me up in the moment. I don't know what was going on in that day. If maybe that was more of a thing you were also feeling was a trend, that in some of these sessions that, you know, I don't think I was tuned out, but maybe there was just something you were sensing that, hey, I just don't know. And I remember, also, I think I cried. You know, it was, you know, I talk this off often that, you know, I don't cry often enough. I wrote about this in the book Shiny Eyes, how I think there's a great mystery in our tears. I think our tears even can become lenses over our eyes and how we see the world differently, feel God's presence more nearly. I feel much more compassion behind tears for others. But in that moment, you're loving sort of shaking of me to say, if you're not bringing the shovel, you know, I'm not just your burrito friend, as you said. And I remember I was undone by that.
Yeah. Because I think part of it is in spiritual direction, we forget who we are. We forget our belovedness. You know, you've got a bunch of kids. We're talking about that, but you can get lost, Travis, as all men, as all women can, in their work and their roles, all of our roles. You're working in a you know, raising money and working in a nonprofit and now doing a podcast, all these things, we've got a lot of roles. Spiritual direction is not about the roles. It's about the soul. It's about your essence, your true essence, this person that's sitting in front of me. And so the privilege of being a sitting in my chair is watching you, inviting you, seeing you. It's like the story of Hagar. And this is a feminine story of a beautiful woman in the Bible that was Abraham's mistress. And Sarah and Abraham were married. They couldn't have any kids. So Abraham said, I'll fix that. And so he goes and has sex with Hagar, and she has this baby. But then Sarah gets all upset about it and shuns Hagar out to the distance. And in a moment, Hagar's out crying in the wilderness, and this presence of God shows up, and Hagar says, oh my word, you are the God who sees me. And in my own spiritual direction, I have a spiritual director who's a Benedictine nun that lives in a monastery in Colorado. And she is the woman that sees me. She knows me. She sat with Gwen and me. Gwen and I have gone with her. I've taken staff that I had conflict with her. She's helped us resolve. She's helped in such wisdom, not advice, but just such wisdom that when she would bring clarity, I knew the direction when I left that I needed to take, that I should take, that I wanted to take, because it's like light had come through and the cloud had parted and God had spoken and I had wind in my sail. But Jess, I want to ask you, because you have the most unique vantage point of all, and that, you know, you get to, for a year, you've watched Travis in spiritual direction and you've seen him probably raw and who knows after we're finished, but what's it been like to be a witness to this man that you love enter the journey of the heart?
Yeah. No, it's been a real privilege to get to watch him have the courage at the beginning just to even consider it. And then not be good at it. Like, doesn't know what, you know, what it's all about, but do it anyway. You know, just enter into a friendship with a complete stranger, and then build that friendship around listening to God. And he's got his soul care notebook, and and sometimes we go on dates and he'll bring it with him, you know, because we'll have a little quiet time or whatever. And you know, it's just part of him now. Like to take this notebook, to write down observations, to ponder and wonder what is going on inside there.
You didn't know I was going to interview you, but I wonder about this. I mean, it's a big question, but do you think he's a better man because he's doing inner work?
Absolutely. Yes. I think that, you know, the quote I read earlier about the stresses and the things that we can't see, they cloud our vision. They cloud our ability to see the truth. And as a husband, as a father, as an employee, like when he slows down and he observes his life from in this way, the way of Jesus, the easy yoke. He's gentler. He's more vulnerable. He is, he's repentant when he makes mistakes or he does, he reacts harshly or quickly. He's aware enough to come back and repair. You know,
well,
not perfectly, but he's definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if there could ever be an infomercial on spiritual direction, you've just given it. And every spouse of that, your observation, kinder, gentler, more attentive. Why? How could that be possible? Because the person that engages in spiritual direction is attentive to their inner aches and inner fears and inner anger and inner disappointments and inner story and inner hurt that no one has ever given a damn about to listen to, maybe, mm-hmm. or that they've withheld because they think nobody cares. Nobody gives a rip. Nobody really has ever really loved me. My parents kind of tolerated me, but now it's a whole different thing, isn't it, to be loved and to be loved spiritually and to be loved. You know, Travis, I think for us, there's so many dynamics as, you know, I'm the older dad figure. You know, I'm a father figure in your life. I'm not your father. But it's the beauty, I think, of age. And Jess, I know you have a spiritual director. Is she your age or older, or you know?
No, she's in her 70s.
Yeah, so the older voice. I'm a big advocate about that these days, probably because I am one now, the older voice. But it's like I just believe in that intergenerational wisdom that many of us miss because we're just like, we want to hang with all the 35-year-olds. I noticed on this retreat that I just went on, they were all in their 30s and they were all hanging. And I was definitely the older person in the room, the oldest person in the room. It's just like, should I just keep entering and acting like I'm 35? It's just like, I don't have the energy to be acting, staying up at 12 o'clock and talking. I said, like, I need the bed. But I'm just advocating for the older voice, a seasoned, more mature. And in my case, it's not like I'm perfect because I am so not. I mean, Gwen often says, Steve, I think it's time for you to schedule with Mary Colleen. That's my spiritual director. And what by that she means, you're feeling pretty edgy or there's some rough edges to you. And I think it'd be good if you go process. And she's the observer. She sees me. She gets my rough edges. She gets my barbs and my looks. And I wish I did. I wish by now they were all worn off, you know. But I'm in process, and that's the spiritual formation piece. Is we're all in process of being shaped and reshaped and transformed and conformed to a better image of what God had in mind for us.
And that's a great sort of segue into another observation I have looking back that I feel like is part of spiritual direction, definitely part of your role in listening, the ministry of holy listening to my life. And even the way you hear me or the way someone would hear someone in direction describe God, you know, mm-hmm. or even through the narrative of their story. Mm-hmm. I remember, and this was probably our very first meeting, you were kind of getting to know me and having me describe myself and all of that. And I remember making the comment, you know, that I'm part of my wiring is someone who's really passionate. So I also have a lot of intensity. And I made some comment around, you know, God sort of in his redemptive work at me is whittling away at my intensity. And even the way I then in that moment described God, the traits, characteristics of God was an intense description because your immediate line, I wrote this down. I'm just writing all the time when I meet with Steve, but you counter that with no, he's soaking your heart in Epsom salt. Mm. And wow. Okay. So then I had to pause. Okay. Cause I'm picking this chisel into, you know, and mm-hmm. then your line after that, as I started thinking about, wow, soaking my heart, that's a much different picture than whittling, is you said, yeah, you just said, Trav, even just the way you're describing God, your father, you know, has an intense sort of a forceful edge to it. And so even that then made me think going forward of just, yeah, how am I relating to God as my father?
It's just so good to hear you talk that way, because what we do is in our story, as we're formed as children, as adolescents with our own earthly parents, we project onto God these unhealthy things we got from our earthly relationships. So many of us were raised by absent, emotionally absent dads. My father was a workaholic, and he loved me, but he never told me until I asked him to finally at 80 years old. He was 80, and he told me. And, but that we project, if there's a lot of anger, one of the men that I work with, he's 38, and he, every time we sit down, every time we begin, he's just angry. I can tell he's seething. And when I ask him what his image of God was, basically it's God is mad as hell at me and really upset because I've screwed up again this week. And so spiritual direction helps reform and reframe your image of God, because God is not, this is not, Jonathan Edwards was not right when he preached the sermon, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. That's something that really needs to be kind of rethought and redone. This is love. And I'm just thinking, Travis, I mean, as we sit here and as we talk, I mean, I have love in my heart for both of you all. And so there's not this anger and resentment and disappointment. Like, I listened to the podcast, your podcast, you should have done it this way, or you should have done it this way. It's like, shoulda. That's horizontal history stuff that I can pull out and dump on you and then put that on God. Well, God's a shoulda God. I have to please him. I have to do more to be loved. I have to do it harder. I have to try harder. I have to be better. God all the time slapping us, beating us down. It's just like, no, that's not the Father of Jesus. Jesus called his Father in Aramaic, Abba, which is translated correctly, Daddy. This intimate thing. So this love, and our listeners, you know, they're following you and your story and these two podcasts that you just shared about your brother and the horrible accident. It's like, as I was listening, you know, I've never met Jeremy. I hope to meet him. Yeah. And I've never met your brother, Dan, who talks so much, you know, on the podcast. But it's like, I listened through your lens and I just thought, so what's this been like for you as you were trying to grow a family? Your brother now is a quadriplegic. You're having to care for him so many days a month. I gathered this from the second podcast. In the midst of your children, your teenage children, your high school senior, your athletic running the 440 and the, you know, 2 miler and all this kind of stuff. And then your youngest child, you've just got a lot going on. So I listened for you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what spiritual direction is. It's not like I don't care about Dan, right, or, and I don't care about Jeremy. That's not the truth. But I'm holding you in my heart because you're my guy. You're my companion. And so, yes, I hate that all that happened. Yes, that's terrible. But how is this impacting you and all that you're doing and all that's on your, it's just like your plate's full.
Yes.
And I often tell you that your plate's full.
And that is the beauty. I think if we were to sit down, you know, we're sitting down now, but if we were to unpack what you just said about all of that we face with Jeremy and his accident and stuff like that, this is kind of a picture into even how you would listen and then respond. Is, I think there's, my natural wiring would be to say, well, yeah, I mean, I love to defend the vulnerable and uplift his story. And so much of this was energetic for me. Not, I mean, horrible that it happened, but this idea of, you know, I'm seeing the inspiration behind, you know, propping him up, giving him, you know, platforms and helping him with his care and all of these things. And I'm describing it in these ways. And I think you would hear that and go, you know, yes, that's all inspiring, but wow, that's hard. Wow. That I'm so sad for you. I mean, I could feel you saying something like that and giving me permission to actually reflect and go, I've never thought that I should actually, this is really sad and broken, not just for Jeremy, but even for me.
Your whole family, it's your whole family has been interrupted by this tragedy. And the fact of it is, all of us have had these interruptions. Mm-hmm. Jess, you have. I've had them in my life where it's just like, I did not think when we moved from Colorado and transitioning and trying to reposition and retire, and we moved to Charlotte, it's just like, that felt like a huge interruption. That was nowhere what I thought this was going to be like, because COVID hit. We couldn't meet people. We were very isolated. It's just like, that was a terrible time. Then I got sick. I had to do surgeries. These interruptions, which are really divine interruptions, aren't they, into our lives. Jeremy's accident was a divine interruption. Mm-hmm. And it's like then paying attention to the interruption and gleaning what we can learn. Oh, well, God is good. He's still loving. I don't know. This isn't making any sense. Right. But it's just like for me, it's like I'm not giving up on Jesus. Jesus is not going to give up on me, but I need to rethink many other things in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love everything that you've just shared with us, and I love your heart for this. Something I've wondered, because you just have so many just wise things to impart upon many leaders and parents and, you know, people in ministry. Do you have words to give to us as we step forward in this idea of spiritual formation and soul care?
Yeah, I think one is just be a pilgrim. You can't be a spiritual director because you've read one book or if you've attended one weekend seminar. You're not, that's not what makes, it's like, imagine a doctor just because they read a book on how to do an appendectomy. You wouldn't want that doctor doing your appendectomy. You'd want to go to somebody that's done a couple thousand. Mm-hmm. That's the case with spiritual direction. My warning is in our social influencer culture is that people are so eager to think they're experts. And there's such a danger in that. It's just like, assume that you're a pilgrim and be curious. Just be curious. Maybe you're not even familiar with the term spiritual direction. Google it, Christian spiritual direction. Go to our website. Go to the website of the soulcareinstitute.com, soulcareinstitute.com. That's a two-year training program that Gwen and I set up where people learn this language and learn how to care for the soul. And there are also resources there for spiritual direction. Anamkara.com, Anamkara, which means soul friendship, Anamkara.com. My dear friend Tara Owens is the founder and the leader of that. And that's an online training program, not so much online, but it's a journey of being an apprentice, of learning how to do this. Before you become one, be in it first. Don't jump and think you can play, you know, in this league when we need to learn how to play flag football first before we're in the NFL. I'm not trying to pridefully say I live in the NFL. I don't. I'm still a flag football player. My spiritual director flat out just says, Steve, you're such a baby. And she calls me a baby. She calls it like it is. And because I am, I'm still learning. I'm alive and yes, but there's still so much to learn. So I think getting a good book on it, and there's some good resources. I've mentioned my book, Soul Custody, Choosing to Care for the One and Only You. You mentioned Alice Freiling. She's got a beautiful book on spiritual direction. Google her name, Alice Freiling. Her book is excellent. There's so many, too many for me to even list, but that would give you an overview. But we need to kind of throttle back rather than trying to all be social influencers. I'm really tired of all that. It's very exhausting to watch it all on social media. In fact, I'm moving further and further away because I can't tolerate it anymore. It doesn't hit me well, and it hits me as trying to sell spiritual trinkets. It's kind of like Jesus in the temple again, the money changers. So it's like I moved off of that, and I write on Substack, as you know, because you're doing it too, because I just don't want to be on social media. It's more serious, and I need a more serious space to be able to explore my thoughts in writing and that type of thing. So, you know, I think, where do you begin? With your curiosity. Be curious. And if you're curious about this and you want to know more, write Trav and Jess. They can point you in another direction in the show notes or on our podcast. We have two or three podcasts that are similar. What is spiritual direction? What does it look like? I interviewed Tara Owens on it, for instance. So you could listen to those and use all these resources that we have. But the curiosity piece is the stirring of your own soul. Like, oh, I'm interested. What do I do with it? Well, don't act like you're not interested. Just move on it. Take an action step. Read something. Read an article. Have a conversation. Talk to your pastor. And many pastors may not even know about this, so they might not be great resources, but there are many good online places that you can look.
Yeah, I love that you said, really honed in on that idea of curiosity. And that's been something you've really inspired Travis and I in our soul care journey and how we're approaching soul care, is that curiosity, contemplation, and cultivation are three kind of pillars that we're really wanting to make everything about.
Say those again.
Curiosity, contemplation, and cultivation.
They're just good bases around the baseball diamond. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, like the curiosity is kind of that softness of your mind, and contemplation gets you into your heart and going into kind of deeper places of listening and quiet and solitude and stillness. And then cultivation is about the work. It's the work in the way of Jesus. It's not toilsome and it's not hard. I love that. Just enter with curiosity and be a pilgrim on a journey.
And I think my kind of closing comments here would be, you know, as someone that's been in spiritual direction, and I've read some on it as well, but just this idea, it seems to be it's a space of vulnerability and humility. Steve talked about this. I don't know that necessarily a pastor, because they can be a great orator, can unpack a tremendous sermon, necessarily becomes a great spiritual director. They have to understand that so much of this skill is listening with humility and listening with attentiveness, listening for the Holy Spirit's direction. And so it's sort of a unique space, I think, to step into. That is why often you'll see programs and getting trained and 100% with Steve of just like going through it and being directed yourself for a journey and experiencing that. I'm going to say one final quote for me that sums up my experience of spiritual direction with Steve, what it's done for me. And this actually comes from maybe a strange source. Carl Menninger, who's an American psychiatrist, talked about listening. It says, listening is a magnetic and strange thing, a creative force. The friends, and I think spiritual directors can be friends in this way, who listen to us are the ones we move toward. When we are listened to, it creates us, makes us unfold and expand. And if I were to say what I felt like in the presence of Steve, who's a tremendous listener, who sees me, who listens to my story and listens to what I'm maybe not believing about God or where God is finding his home in my story, is a way that I feel like I'm getting to expand and come to life in new ways with my companion, Steve. So if you have any final comments, Steve, to take us out.
Well, my comment is joy to be able to talk with the two of you, you know, about this deep water subject, and that you're in the water with me, and we're not in the water alone. You know, what was so interesting, you know, when we moved to Brevard, the two of you I drafted, please come help us unpack our boxes. We didn't know anybody here, and you drove up here and spent time and helped us. And it's just like, that showed me that you'd get in the car and drive an hour and a half and, you know, to help two people kind of that you didn't know it that well at that time get settled. And, you know, through that, it's just like, there's been a beautiful click between us and our friendship. And so I'm for you. I cheer you on. I'm up here on the mountain waving my arms and saying, y'all go get them. And may God bless this podcast and may it grow and expand. And all these topics that you talk about, just be yourselves. Refrain from becoming the expert, because you are enough to cultivate the ordinary.
Couldn't say that any better of the vision behind that. I think you were such a huge inspiration behind even trying this. And I've said that to someone else that was on this. We don't want to be a podcast with the experts. This is the anti-expert podcast, because it is about ordinary and God's intersection in our ordinary lives and making extraordinary things. So thank you for saying that. And thank you so much for your friendship and mentoring of us.
Thanks for listening to the podcast today. I hope you found something helpful, hopeful, or thought-provoking. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to any resources mentioned in the podcast. And we also have links in the notes for our own resources to check out. We would really love to hear from you. And we're also really grateful for your support by sharing the podcast episodes with your friends and family and leaving a rating and review. May we all regain and maintain our wonder, hope, and inspiration as we look at our ordinary through new and fresh eyes.